just like an X-Files.
Well, sort of live from Seattle, this is Media Geek, your weekly look at the world of grassroots, independent media, and our media environment. On today's show, we're going to be taking a deep look at Reclaim the Media going on here in Seattle as an answer to the National Association of Broadcasters radio show. And in that, we will be talking to some micro-broadcasters who are here and other media activists who are here in town. And we'll also listen into a pirate broadcast that happened Thursday afternoon on many frequencies all over Seattle, hosted by Negative Land. And of course, we'll start off with some media news headlines. Stay tuned. Well, we're live here at the Seattle IMC in lovely downtown Seattle. I'm Paul Reismandel, and with me is John Anderson, who is the webmaster for DIYmedia.net. Thanks for joining me, John.
Hey, not a problem.
John's been my traveling companion for this trip, and he's going to help me out with Media Geek today. And we're first going to take a look at some news headlines here, and there's actually some disturbing news today.
Yeah, there's a lot that's been happening on the FCC front. The first bit of news actually happened on Wednesday, September 11th. As you may have heard, because of a supposed increased threat of terrorism to our country, the federal government went to condition orange, whatever that is supposed to mean. And because of that heightened sense of alert, the FCC has pretty much locked itself down. You cannot enter any of the FCC facilities, including its headquarters at the portals just outside of D.C. without an escort. And they're also going to be pulling a lot of their public information that they have on their website offline.
Now, this has happened already for other government agencies, like the Agency of the Interior pulled off much of its data off about national parks and the environment with under the fear that it would be used by potential terrorist attackers. And so now the FCC is doing it.
Right. And I mean, you know, you can almost make a case that, okay, maybe the military, you know, military data or things like that. But does anybody really think that any potential terrorist is actually going to attack the media?
Or, I mean, they can attack it without any of the information in the database. And the types of things that you might get online will be where transmitters are actually located and some topographical data that way and you know, ownership. But, you know, most of this information has already been stored elsewhere online. And, two, it's pretty easy to figure out without it.
Right.
This is not classified information. But I think it's a disturbing and scary turn of events here that even fairly benign information which is actually very, very vital to democratic communications is being pulled off the web because of supposed terrorist threats.
Yeah, and I mean, the FCC is one of a handful of government agencies who posts almost all of their documents online. They have a very extensive set of several databases that you can go through and search. And of course, for media watchers like us, it's very helpful to have that information. And while they haven't pulled everything down just yet, and we don't know to the extent that they're actually going to take these databases offline, the announcement has gone out that they are going to pull public information off their website. So you might want to check out FCC.gov and see if it's a lot slimmer now.
And we have more FCC news here.
That's right. On Thursday morning, the FCC launched its massive media regulation rewrite process. It's going to examine six rules, which include the newspaper broadcast cross-ownership ban and the local radio market rule. According to FCC Chairman Michael Powell, it is ambitious, but it is long overdue. And he cites the fact that the FCC's rules are coming under a lot of court attack, and courts have ruled against some of the ownership rules, and so he thinks that that's evidence enough that there needs to be a massive rewrite, which very well could lead to the elimination of what's left, you know, of the ownership regulations.
And it's not coincidental, I think, that it's happening just as the National Association of Broadcasters, radio executives and engineers and everyone are meeting here in Seattle. And this is certainly something which the National Association of Broadcasters, by and large, has been looking for, is greater relaxation on the rules that limit how many stations they can own and use.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of scary, but this is not, I don't think, going to be a unanimous decision. As the announcement came out, Commissioner Michael Copps released his own statement, and he says that those who are in favor of greater regulation or replacing some of the ownership caps that have been removed since the Telecom Act 96, those people should be heard. This is a quote from him in his statement. Suppose we make a mistake. How do we put the genie back in the bottle if it fails? Good question, Michael.
It is, because what would it basically require would be, if it were ownership limits being changed, stripping entities of their stations or forcing them to sell them off, which, you know, is always a difficult process and one which is fraught with lots of political problems. It's usually better just to stop them from having them in the first place.
That's very true. A little bit of news out of the NAB convention. On Thursday morning, there was a broadcast financing panel held by a venture capitalist firm, I guess you could call them, and Cumulus Broadcasting CEO Lou Dickey and other broadcast executives said we could probably expect to see more consolidation in the radio industry as time goes on. So I think the point you made a little bit earlier, Paul, about this announcement being coincidentally timed with the NAB convention and having broadcast executives saying, yeah, we want more consolidation and it's probably going to happen, kind of tells you where the bread is being buttered, so to speak. Looks like if there will be more radio consolidation, we're going to see it at the mid-market level. Pretty much the large urban areas are, you know, consolidated up. The hot properties have already been bought and clustered, and now we're going to see it trickle down, so to speak, into the mid and smaller markets.
So already big giants like Clear Channel have made an entree into sort of mid-sized markets like Madison, Wisconsin, where you're based out of.
Right.
They own six stations there, correct?
Clear Channel owns six. That's currently the cap as far as how many stations one company can own in a market the size of Madison.
Under current rules.
Under current rules.
Yeah, and in Champaign-Urbana, our largest owner is AAA Entertainment, which has four stations. Clear Channel is yet to come into our market, which is smaller than Madison, Wisconsin. But indeed, we may be seeing this as the entree for the big 900-pound gorilla to stomp across the Midwest.
You have regional companies that own clusters in
AAA. Well, AAA is kind of regional. They're based out of Rhode Island. And they tend to focus on small to mid-sized markets. Saga Communications, based out of the Ann Arbor, Detroit area, also focuses on mid and small-sized markets. So that's pretty much what they do. They really don't focus so much on large markets.
Well, looking at what Cumulus CEO Lou Dickey said, and Cumulus is another one of those companies that kind of focuses on the smaller-sized markets. They kind of stay away from the top 30 or so. You know, a lot of these companies may be setting themselves up to be acquired by larger broadcast firms if there is a relaxation in the ownership rules. I mean, if you can go through and basically pick up the crumbs and assemble them into a cookie in medium to small markets and then sell them to a larger company when and if the consolidation rules are further relaxed, we could very well see lots of money change hands. And in fact, one of the other things that Dickey said at this broadcast financing panel is look for possible deals to be made in Seattle this weekend.
And it's backroom deals like this that occur at the National Association of Broadcasters radio meeting that's going on in Seattle. That is the reason why people have converged here for the Reclaim the Media Conference and converged here at the Seattle IMC. There's a rally going on just about every day, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. People bringing voices of media and democracy to Freeway Park, just outside of where the National Association of Broadcasters are meeting, to raise people's awareness of the consolidation on the radio dial and to raise the idea that the radio dial and indeed our media environment can look different. Jonathan Jay is an organizer here at the Seattle IMC and with microradio.net, and he's put in some work to bring micro broadcasters to town. and they are broadcasting right now throughout the dial on the Seattle airwaves in little pockets where you can put a little 10 or 50-watt station and not interfere with big 10,000-watt stations. And they're here to bring this voice of democracy and a conception of a different media environment to the airwaves. I spoke with him a little earlier, and he told us more about this project. You've helped to coordinate this mosquito fleet here.
Well, that's kind of an overstatement, really. All I've done is some research on the local FM dial and studied the FCC database, and I've made some topo maps, and I invited people who had skills to take advantage of the information that we've been able to gather about the local FM landscape. So if that's coordinating a bunch of unruly micro radio people, then I guess
give them some information.
Yeah, I'm just I've done research and work to show make an outline of the demonstration of the possible.
So, can you encapsulate what the possible is then?
Yeah, the possible is that there could be a rebirth of free speech in this country, and that in the same way that there are public libraries available to folks in different cities across the country, in the same way that there are public buses available for folks to go from one point in town to the other, that the airwaves that belong to the people, us, will be usable by the people at a very low power and a very local level, and that they can all have a half dozen or a dozen or so new slots in the dial where their local voices can be heard.
And so what you researched is where low-power radio stations could be placed on the dial.
In spite of the fact that the FCC says there's no room available.
Okay, so what's that about? Why is it that the FCC says there's no room, and yet you've got a whole table of frequencies here?
Yeah, over a dozen.
That you say you can put stations on the air.
Well,
what's the FCC say? Why does the FCC say you can't put a station there?
The FCC says, and when the FCC is talking, you have to kind of imagine that up the FCC's ass is two hands, and one of the hands is from the arm of the NAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the other hand is from the NPR, National Propaganda Radio, because those are two large-scale entrenched frequency holders in the country, and they've got, you know, NPR's got over 140 radio stations, and Clear Channel's got 1,200 radio stations, so they are major stakeholders in the broadcast industry. And right now, if through these exclusive, you know, unnecessarily restrictive guidelines, there are technically no new frequencies available. So they own the only game in town.
And what's their argument? Why they say you can't use those frequencies?
Because we don't want you to.
Oh, is it? But it's an interference question. That's what they claim, right?
Yeah. Well, and that's what it is. They claim that's what they're doing, and in fact, that is what they're doing. They are interfering with the public's right to use the public's airwaves, and they're doing it through bogus data and spurious claims. Radio is kind of technical. You know, at the end of the day, you've got transistors and resistors and ohms and watts, and some people look at multiplication tables and their mind starts glazing. So I like to try and use analogies when talking about some of the technical aspects of radio. And if you imagine the FM dial as a bunch of bar stools along a big long bar, and each one of the bar stools is equivalent to a frequency, what the FCC is saying with the big, bad, bloated, mega corporate stations with 100,000 or 50,000 watts, what they're saying is that they're going to sit on their stool, and they don't want anybody to sit next to them on either side, or on the stools next to the stools that are empty, or the stools next to those stools. They want three stools on either side empty, so that they feel safe. And evidently, they, I don't know, they're just nervous. They have the issues of fearfulness, or they lack a certain kind of confidence.
And they're concerned that like a 10-watt or 40-watt station is going to pose, or at least this is what they claim.
This is what they claim.
It's going to interfere with their 10,000, 20,000, or 100,000-watt station.
Yeah, and if you think about that for about 1 second, you can see how totally implausible it is, because that's like saying that your kayak is going to upset their aircraft carrier.
Right.
It's just not, it doesn't work that way. I mean, if there's going to be interference, which there is, it's the 50,000-watt stations that are interfering with the little stations. I mean, micro radio is it's not a big corporate monstrosity. It's human-scale media. You're talking about power levels that are equivalent to the light bulb that is at your reading lamp by your bed, or your nightlight, or one of the little twinklers on your Christmas tree, if you are now or have ever been a Christian.
And so what we're looking for tomorrow beginning is there's going to be stations all over the city of Seattle.
Well, that's the hope. I mean, what I've been doing is I've been advertising and promoting that these frequencies are open and that they're available. And the reason why, you know, the reason why these frequencies are open, in spite of the fact that the NAB and NPR has pushed the FCC in their alphabet soup fashion to say that they're not open, is because they're not using the same the very same rules that they demand the FCC have for them. And, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, so we're trying to play level. There are already an existing class of transmitters that the FCC licenses on the dial, and they are called translators. And what we're doing here is just using basically the translator rules, which says that if there's an open frequency on either side of your frequency, i.e. if there's three open channels in a row, then you're free to broadcast
right
on there.
And except a translator can't originate its own broadcast. It can only rebroadcast, I mean, by the FCC rules,
sure,
which is so absurd.
Sure, but, you know, it's not for them to determine or make any judgments, really, on what the content is.
Right.
Their job should be to have a level playing field and even measure for the technical aspects. If you want to make a technical argument about interference, well, then you should apply the same rules that you're applying elsewhere on the dial.
Right.
I have a little short phrase that a very dear friend of mine taught me a couple days ago, and it goes like this. It's the Constitution, stupid. So I like to spread that around.
All right. And that was an interview with Jonathan Jay, a media activist here in Seattle who has worked hard to help bring the Mosquito fleet of micropower transmitters to the airwaves in Seattle during the Reclaim the Media conference going on right now. My name is Paul Riesmandel, and this is Media Geek, your weekly look at the world of grassroots and independent media and our media environment. And I am broadcasting from the Seattle Independent Media Center in downtown Seattle, Washington. And you can hear some activity in the background as people make various preparations for the rallies and the teach-ins and other presentations going on this weekend. This is being recorded right now on Thursday, and today at noon there was a special broadcast heard on at least five different micropower Mosquito fleet stations throughout the city of Seattle. The media collage group Negative Land put together their own take on a local commercial radio station, KJR, here in Seattle, owned by the Mammoth Clear Channel Corporation, which owns 1,200 stations nationwide. And they've got a beef with Clear Channel and with KJR, as do many, many people. And they're trying to call them on the carpet for some of the most blatant, obvious lies they make on air. I managed to record this right off the air from a radio, take an air check of this broadcast, and so we'll now present you with a small excerpt of this half-hour broadcast by Negative Land over the Mosquito fleet of low-power FM stations in Seattle.
The world-famous KJR-FM is back.
Welcome home, KJR.
No doo-wop oldies, no unfamiliar hard rock. 95.7 KJR-FM, super hits of the 60s and 70s.
KJR Seattle, channel 95.7.
I'm Jack Digovich, as far as you're concerned, with Clear Channel's 95.7 KJR-FM, promising nothing but your favorite songs of the 60s and 70s, but delivering so much more. Over 60 songs from the early to mid-1980s, because it's easier to lie than to admit you're only interested in that money demographic. Here's one from the playlist right now. It's Michael Jackson's Billie Jean from Thriller. Now, does this sound like the 60s or 70s to you?
Like 95.7 KJR-FM plays 1982's Hard to Say I'm Sorry,
song that the staff and management should listen to and reflect upon, but unfortunately they're completely automated and you can't reason with a machine, so no matter how friendly it's programmed to be, don't expect anything from them. And don't fall for those phony baloney testimonials they play between songs either. They're all either shills or attention whores who'll say anything to hear their voice on the radio. And while we're at it, don't believe listening to a station that promises only 60s and 70s hits as it plays over 60 songs from the 1980s over and over again will make your life happy or complete, as their telephonies have stayed in those flashy, jolly-you-up promotions between songs. Please understand, KJR does not and cannot care about you. No radio station can. Commercial radio is not there to perform a public service. It's there to generate money from advertising dollars, and that's the only reason they want you listening, because better ratings means more money. And in this particular case, KJR-FM and their owner, Clear Channel Communications, are willing to lie to the listeners a dozen or more times an hour to bilk the unsuspecting listeners and advertisers into making the money, and they don't even care. And they are fully backed, as a matter of fact, by the National Association of Broadcasters. They think it's just great simply because that's how business is done. They see you as peons, peasants, and dollar signs, and they think nothing of murdering your family execution style to protect their bottom line if they had to. So believe me, they'd squash me like a slug in a split second right now if they could. And, you know, I just wonder what KJR and Clear Channel Communications and their buddies at the NAB would do if they had to answer to this broadcast. And they probably won't, but I guess that they'd first pretend they'd never heard it, and if they could no longer deny it, they'd write me off as a big nobody or disgruntled employee, even though I'd never worked in radio and certainly never would. And their third option would be to change the format of KJR immediately and pretend that they never lied. But thankfully, we have our bases covered, folks. We have snapshots of their online playlist. We have hundreds of hours of recorded material from their station and tons of other evidence we'll not discuss right now should they work to discredit our side. But I want you all to remember out there, this is war. Go right now to Clear Channels, www.957kjrfm.com, and contact the program director. His name is Bob Case at bobcase@clearchannel.com with your thoughts and suggestions. Call the KJR-FM listener line and tell him what you think. It's a local number, so you can't be traced.
I just calling to say I made the super switch from KBSG
to KJR 95.7 FM.
You guys are back, and I love it.
Thanks for coming back.
Call 206-494-2095 and tell us what you think about 95.7 KJR FM.
And you're listening to Media Geek. That was Negative Land doing their own impression version of Clear Channel Communication Station KJR here in Seattle, Washington. My name is Paul Reisman. I'm your host, and my pal John Anderson just got back from the start of the Reclaim the Media rally in Freeway Park in downtown Seattle. So things are getting started there?
Yeah, people, I mean, are still rolling into town, and events are going to get bigger, I think, as the weekend goes on. But there's a stage set up. They're selling T-shirts. We got bands playing. People can basically go up and speak their piece. NAB people are filtering through.
And so those are people at the National Association of Broadcasters
meeting.
Yeah,
they've got the little tags on. The closer you get, Freeway Park, you know, since people aren't in Seattle like we are, is basically a block away from the convention center. And we're located on the far side of Freeway Park, kind of away from the convention center. But Freeway Park is a bit of a maze, and people have to walk through it. So NAB people are walking through, and they're kind of looking. It's not confrontational at all. I mean, I think most people there want to engage in dialogue. Yeah, there's going to be rallies and speak-outs and all kinds of stuff.
That's right. David Barsamian and Amy Goodman from Democracy Now! Will be kicking things off Friday evening.
I did notice that police presence is not really oppressive, but they have two main entrances to the park pretty much sealed off. They have up barricades, they have up yellow police tape, and they have a whole contingent of bike cops who are basically pretty much there for show at this point. But Seattle police can be a bit notorious for overreactions, so depending on, you know, what happens with the spontaneity of people wanting to go do something might invoke a confrontation, but it doesn't really feel that way. The vibe is good. I think it's going to be a good weekend all along.
Okay, and you talked to one of the organizers?
Yeah, I talked to the guy who is actually holding down the permit for the actual rally event at Freeway Park.
Okay, so let's give that a listen.
These are great shirts. That's not news. You got all the Reclaim the Media stuff going on the back. What does that mean, that's not news?
Well, it means that the NAB as an organization aren't exactly giving us the real information we need as citizens to participate in this democracy that we supposedly have.
Have you had any NAB folks come traipsing through here at all this afternoon?
Just people that worked in the convention center, not actually like delegates or being people going to the convention.
You going to try to engage them in some dialogue nonetheless?
Actually, that'd be a good thing. Yeah, I'd love it if people wanted to come down and talk. Sure. I mean, you know, I think the people actually going to the convention are not like bad people or the enemy or whatnot. It's more like the idea and the whole larger issue of corporate media that we're whining about.
I noticed something. I was at the stuff in San Francisco 2 years ago when they had the whole media democracy protest there. And the cops in San Francisco were actually kind of cool. But walking in, there's like bike cops everywhere. They have it all. Is that like pretty much standard MO for the Seattle cops?
The Seattle police are not exactly, I don't know. They're notorious for going overboard and being too much of a presence and, you know, instigating things. So it's been cool today so far. So I don't know. I've heard of been to too many demonstrations and have heard about too many where people are just hanging out and you've got 2 seconds to disperse and 1 second later they jump in and I don't know. I mean, hopefully it'll be all cool down here. That's what I'm, you know.
So what's going to be happening this weekend, kind of in this area?
We're going to be having, beyond having bands and speakers down here at this plaza in Freeway Park, down here by, this is the south side of Freeway Park. The convention center is, of course, on the north side of Freeway Park. There's also going to be some tabling going on, some street theater. We're going to have some DIY workshops going on inside the park. There's a lot of events going on at Town Hall across the street on Friday. Just have a lot of there's things that I don't even know about going on.
And that was an interview with Brian Foss, the permit holder for the Reclaim the Media rally. That's going on in Freeway Park, downtown Seattle, Washington, this weekend as part of the Reclaim the Media conference. And I'm looking forward to things still to come, John.
Whew, you know, we got out here on Tuesday, and it feels like we've been out here almost an entire week already, and it's only been a few days. But
because we've barely slept.
Yeah, well, that's how these things happen. I mean, there's a lot of work to be done. A lot of it's done at the last minute with all the different projects that are happening. It's just nice to throw in some time and hang out with some people who are of like sentiments, strong sentiments.
Yes, it is. It's a lot of fun. And very few times we'll ever get to hear five or more low-power pirate stations going on the FM dial simultaneously. That in and of itself is a great experience.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. I think that this is actually, as far as micro radio, low-power FM, pirate radio, whatever you want to call it, it's actually kind of a historic time. It's a historic event that's taking place with all these simulcasts. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to be here, was to see it, hear it, experience it. And if this is just the beginning, imagine what the rest of the weekend's going to be like.
Yes, and I will bring you those highlights from the rest of the weekend next time on Media Geek next Friday at 5:30 on WEFT or online at www.mediageek.org to everyone listening online. Of course, if you have any comments, you can send them to me, care of Paul, at MediaGeek.org. And saying so long from the Seattle Independent Media Center in downtown Seattle, Washington, I'm Paul Reese-Mandel.
I'm John Anderson.
Thanks for tuning in.